one topic we didn't discuss for Pasachim, which is a good segue into today's topic of Bishalachim, is the issue of Shalosh Melachos. The Gemara says that there are Shalosh Melachos to Pas. Some Rishonim actually had that Girsah, so we don't have that Girsah. But either way, what the Gemara is saying is that there are three things that you could do to be Matir Pasachim. And meaning to say, to make it not Pasachim, to make it Pas Yisrael. And the Gemara says, Amravina Hilchasa Ha Rifta De Shagar Ove Kochavim Ve'afa Yisrael. So if the guy is Masik the Tanor, but the Jew actually does the Afia, Hinami Shagar Yisrael Ve'afa Kochavim, or the opposite. The Jew is ignites the oven, but the guy does the afia. Inami shagar over kochavim va'af over kochavim va'as Yisrael v'chita ba chetu yishap yadami. Or if the guy turns on the oven and puts it in the oven, but the Jew is mechat b'gechalim, so all those cases it has the status of chal of pas Yisrael. And these are the shalosh malachos bepas, namely hesekatan or afias apas and chatias agechalim. Now, the question is, are these kulos said only with respect to pasakum, or maybe they're said with respect to bishal akum as well? As we noted, the Mishnah has them as two separate things. According to Tosfos and the Ramban, they were two separate gzeros. Tosfos thinks that Shlakos was earlier. Ramban thinks Pas was earlier. But either way, they're two separate gzeros. So do we apply from one to the other? So according to many Rishonim, the answer is no. That these are different gzeros. They work differently. They both might be due to chasnas. But they have different rules. The Ran, for example, understands that Pas Akum is tully in bylos. In other words, if the guy is the owner and the Yisrael bakes it, it's usher. And when it comes to bishal akum, it's tully in the bishal. The tour cites that view of the Ran. We'll see that we don't necessarily accept that. But even if you don't learn like the Ran, you learn like the Rambam, still the Rambam implies that these leniencies are stated only with respect to pas akum, where a heker is enough, and not with respect to bishal akum, where something is more significant. However, and this is a good, as I said, an introduction to today's siman, where we're going to talk about bishal akum, the Rama is Meikel, and he assumes that all these leniencies apply to bishal akum as well, and we'll get there in a moment. But first, let's start from the beginning, which is, what is the reason for the restriction of bishal akum? If you look at the Mishnah on Lamed Hem Beis, Rashi writes that the reason for shlakos is because of chasnos. However, Rashi Lamed Ches Amid Aleph writes they were gozer al shlakos kedei shelo yehe Yisrael ragil etzlo b'maychal v'mishta v'yachilenu davar tamei. So this seems like a totally different reason, and begs the question, why Rashi's telling you two different things. The Rishonim ask on Rashi, they're troubled by this as well, and they say, no, both of them are al tzchasnas. Even though, as we noted, many of the Rishonim assume that these two gzeros took place in two different times, and they're mentioned in the Mishnah separately, they're still both Chasnos. But the question is, what's going on? Now, what's actually interesting is, even though Tosos objects to Rashi, Tosos thinks that there is actually a concern as well for the Irev Bodavar Tameh in Tosos's discussion of the issue of non-Jewish people in a Jewish home. So Rabbeinu Tam writes that it doesn't still usher against Rabbi Avram. Ki liolam yeshlacho shema lo yizar beveso shal Yisrael kamo beveso shal akum, meaning to say, Rabbeinu Tam was concerned about shema yachilanu davar tamei, even though, again, generally speaking, the Tosfos held that the reason is because of chasnos. Now, we'll get back to that in a moment, The question is, what is Pshat in Rashi? So, first of all, it's worth noting that Rashi doesn't just say that there's a concern of Isser being placed in the food. Rashi says a little more nuanced point. He writes that Kadesh lo yehe Yisrael ragil etzlo b'machal uv'mishta v'yachilanu davar tamei. Though Rashi is quoted as just saying shema yachilanu davar tamei, that's not the exact thing that he says. He doesn't say that this food might be usher because he slipped in a little bit of isser, but rather to prevent the Jew from the guy being ragil etzlo and thereby slipping something in. But even if we were to understand Rashi as he cited that the concern is shema yachilanu davar tamei, the question is, why is Rashi giving us two different pshatim? And especially because if you look there, there's obvious nafkaminas between the two. The Pesachei Tshuva at the beginning of our siman, for example, suggests nafkaminas between these two reasons. One nafkamina given by the Pesachei Tshuva would be a mummer. If the concern is shema yachilanu davar tamei, there's a concern for a mummer. If the concern is chasnas, there's no concern for a mummer. So what's Rashi doing? What's Rashi giving two different reasons, one in the Mishnah, one in the Gemara? Perhaps the answer to Rashi is an idea that we actually talked about yesterday, a slightly different application, which is that there's a difference between the motivation for the takana and the tzura of the takana. The motivation of the takana might have been chasnas. Because of the concern of chasnas, so then they said, okay, let's be very, very machmir because of a concern that they'll slip in something aser. In other words, the tzura is a chshash of machalos asuras. Why were they so machmir? Because of chasnas. But they made it as a chshash machalos asuras. And we'll see possible nafkaminas. One of the things we're going to talk about, we talked a little bit about yesterday, we'll talk more about it today, is are we talking about an Isser Chefta, an Isser Gavra, all sorts of nafkaminas, for example, you have to worry about Belios and Kalim and the like. We'll have a chance to explain those things, but maybe that's the Pshat in Rashi. Now, it's Rashi saying that this isn't just an Isser Gavra harchaka, but rather they treated it as saying when you have food cooked by a guy, even though under normal circumstances you wouldn't have to be choshish that there's something Isser here, Chazal or Misake, to treat it as something Isser. As I mentioned, we saw a similar thing by Stam Yeinam, the relationship between Chasnos versus Yayin Nesach. That's what we talked about yesterday. Tomorrow, hopefully, when we talk about Chalav Akum, or maybe next week, we'll see in Gvinas Akum, according to the Ramban and a number of Rishonim, Gvinas Akum is the same thing. The motivation, let's say one of the reasons for Gvinas Akum given in the Gemara is that maybe they smeared chazer on the outside of the cheese. They larded the cheese. The motivation for that chshash was chasnas, according to Ramban. Because of chasnas, they said, you have to be extraordinarily machmir over here. So the tzura and the tam of the takana are sometimes different. Maybe that's a pshat of Rashi. In which case, we shouldn't necessarily be looking for nafkaminas between the two, because we know what it is. So Bekitzer, there are three approaches that can be taken within Rashi. One is we're choshish for both things. You see that in Tosfos, actually. Two is what Rashi said on the Mishnah is based off of the Pashto of the Mishnah, but maybe from the Klalim in the Gemara, Rashi gives a different reason, because the Klalim in the Gemara wouldn't work with that reason. And the third possibility is, like we were saying, which I think is the Pashto in Rashi, a chiluk between the motivation for the institution, namely chasnas and the gedir ha'isser, which is sheva yachilanu davar tamei. Now, in this isser, this restriction of bishul akum, we find a number of exceptions. The Gemara has two lashonos, two kulos. One is in olah shulchan melachim. Two is nachal kamos shulchai. The Gemara is clear that these two options disagree with each other, but most rishonim paskin that we accept both of them lahakel, and that's the way we paskin. Tosos explains that's because the lishna basa is meko kashneihem, so therefore it's not ketrei kule desasriya dade. There are some Rishonim, like the Ramban, who thinks that we don't paskin like both of them lahakel, but we don't accept their view. We are makel for both of them. So let's start with the kula of eino olah shulchan malachim. So the Gemara doesn't actually tell us why this should be. And as we noted yesterday, most the pashtuses, though maybe it's a machlokas Rishonim, certainly a machlokas achronim, this kula doesn't apply to pasakum. So why would we have such a kula of Eino Olal Shulchan Malachim. If you look at the Rambam, Perek Yud Zayin Halacha Tesvav, he writes that the reason is De'ein Adam Ezamein Chaveiro Al Davar She'eino Olal Shulchan Malachim. So therefore, there's no chash chasnas. In other words, like we said before, the concern for chasnas is in a social gathering, you're going to invite your neighbor over. Your neighbor's actually going to invite you over. He's going to cook for you. So what kind of food do you invite someone over? Generally speaking, you're not mezamin chaveiro, except for dvarv she'ol al shulchan malachim. So ol al shulchan malachim, obviously, for this doesn't mean the food that's only served at the palace of the king. It means something that, you know, the type of food, you know, we all know, you know, when we're at home for supper, we would eat one type of thing, but if we'd have company, so then, you know, there, you'd serve different types of food. You wouldn't serve the same type of food that you, maybe some people always eat this way, but I think most people, right, when they're having company, so the food's more elegant, it's different types of food, and that's the idea of the Rambam. It raises an interesting question, which is, if you hold like the Rambam, so, you know, let's imagine your Gaish neighbor wants to invite you over for a 4th of July barbecue, so he's going to, like, serve hot dogs, you know, for you. He's going to get the kosher hot dogs. So that's not, you know, we wouldn't usually think that's what they're going to serve at the White House steak dinner. They're not going to serve hot dogs. Of course, the Rambam's reason, maybe you would think that since hot dogs are something that a person's mezamin chaveiro love, they should be asur al spishalakum. Not clear that the Rambam would say that, and if that is the case, that the Rambam would be machmir in that case. We don't pass him like the Rambam. We assume that it has to be something that's nachal shulchan malachim, even if we accept the basic idea of the Rambam, which is that that's the type of things that are more likely to cause problems in terms of assimilation that results from socializing. Now, as I mentioned before, Malachim is Lav Dafka. I know that the Starkei, in some of their articles, writes that when they're unsure of whether something's Olah Shulchan Malachim or not, you know, Starkei's from Baltimore, it's right near Washington, so they call the White House kitchen, and they ask, would you serve such and such at a state dinner? That's the closest thing that we have to Shulchan Malachim in the United States.
In England, they call the Queen's.
Right. In England, they could call the Queen, but, you know, it doesn't help here. Presumably, these things are dependent on the country or the, you know, the local practices. So so we don't call the Queen. We call the White House. Generally speaking, I think many poskim would sort of, as an offhand rule, say if it's the type of thing that they would serve at a wedding or something like that, then we have to be concerned. If not, so then it's okay. Now, the truth is that there's two ways you could define Olal Shulchan Malachim with huge nafkaminas. The Chazon Ish is cited as saying that it actually doesn't mean something that they would serve at a state dinner, but something that's high quality, that the king would eat. There's a story that when King George came to the United States of America, so they made him a whole breakfast fit for a king, and he said something like, I just want my English sardines for breakfast. So the Chazon Ish, I don't think he was commenting on that story per se, but his shita would be, okay, so you see that sardines are Olal Shulchan Malachim. You have to be a grade A sardines. They can't be, you know, if there's a grade B sardines, that would be okay. But the grade A sardines, there is such a thing. So, you know, that would be Olal Shulchan Malachim. However, I remember hearing from Rav Harlap, he said, Adrabba, the story proves the other way, the opinion of, we'll see, most poskim, because when King George said this, apparently it was on the, all the American newspapers made a big deal, like King George, you know, snuffs the breakfast and prefers sardines. So what does that show? In other words, why was it worthy of being in a newspaper? Because everybody thought sardines are Eino Roila Malachim. The king was eating sardines, that belongs in the newspaper, because really kings aren't supposed to be. So according to the accepted halacha, again, there are a number of poskim that do seem to learn like the Chazon Ish, maybe the Aruch HaShulchan, if you look over here, Sifkat and Yudches, but the vast majority of poskim say no. Olos Shulchan Malchus, like we were saying before, means not what a king would happen to eat for breakfast, right? I don't know. It could be that the Queen of England eats cornflakes for breakfast, for all I know. The cornflakes in England, they have her royal seal on it. So could be she eats cornflakes for breakfast, but cornflakes are not going to be Olos Shulchan Malchus. It means, like I said, at a state dinner, at a chashav suda, what the queen or the president happens to eat for breakfast, you know, he might eat Cheerios, I don't know. But you wouldn't see those things at a state dinner. And that lalos ha-shulchan malachim means what would be served at a state dinner or the like. And therefore, like we said yesterday, assuming that Cheerios don't have churis ha-pas, so therefore they're not in the sugya of pasakum, they're in the sugya of bishalakum, so are they mutter or not? The answer is they are mutter, because Cheerios are not olal shulchan malachim. They wouldn't serve Cheerios at a state breakfast. Now, the big question then that comes up is, how specific is it? First of all, does it go by the min? In other words, potatoes. So is there an issue of bishalakum for potato chips? Well, they serve potatoes at the state dinner, even fried potatoes. They don't serve potato chips. They would serve... they wouldn't even serve, regular French fries, but they would cut up the potatoes in a more elegant way and serve them. So how specific does it need to be? Do we say potato chips are eino olal shulchan malachim, because they would never serve potato chips at the state dinner? Or would you say, no, since potatoes are served, then potato chips are subject to the restrictions of bishlakom? Or you say, well, no, we don't just look at potatoes, but we'll look at what are potato chips. Potato chips are fried potatoes, so they would serve fried potatoes at a state dinner. It's a different, very different tzura than potato chips. Or what about French fries? Okay, they don't serve actual, the French fries that you get in a bag from the supermarket, but they would serve, stick fries, something else. So, the question here is, very common question, is how specific does it need to be? I'll give you an example. Somebody once asked me, they said their babysitter made pasta for their kid. I think they told her not to, but she did anyway. And so I said, what type of pasta? So they said, elbow macaroni. So what would you say? In other words, elbow macaroni is the same thing as all the other types of pasta of etzem. It doesn't cost any cheaper, but again, at Shulchan Malachim, they wouldn't use elbow. But they use, rigatoni or ditalini or fettuccine or all these other Italian names. Now, do we see those as two separate minim? They're really the same thing. It's just that in the company, they squeeze the pasta into different shapes. And some of them are considered low class, and some of them are considered more elegant. So would we say elbow macaroni is ein ola Shulchan Malachim or not? Rabbi Willig was no tilakel. He said, yeah, they're different meaning. It might be true that they're identical, right? They look the same. They don't look the same. They taste the same. They have the same texture. But lemaisa, the very fact that they would be makbid never to serve elbow macaroni at even a wedding. Weddings, when they have a pasta, they don't have elbows. They do serve pastas at the shmor, different types of pasta salads and the like. But you'll never see elbow macaroni at a wedding. So that being the case, we could see this as a separate min, and memela, the food was mutter. In this particular case, the shaila that was asked was actually about the pot, so there's even more grounds to be made. The macaroni was already eaten, they wanted to know whether they had the kasha of the pot. But Rabbi Belsky is quoted as not certain that we're going to distinguish between different forms of macaroni, since they all have the same basic ingredients. So it's not always so clear how specific you could get. I remember I was at a wedding, and they had this whole, it was a very fancy wedding, actually, and the main course came, and they had this whole, elaborate design. And sticking out of, one of the things was this big potato chip, Now, maybe it wasn't a potato chip, and I was just ignorant, but that's what it looked like. So do you say all of a sudden a potato chip? I don't think so. Even though I couldn't tell the difference between that and another potato chip, other than this was like bigger and flatter. But I don't think you're going to say that like one Michigan caterer who sticks a potato chip out of their broccoli dish is going to ask for potato chips on everybody else. But again, it raises an issue, how specific. I'll tell you a little later, we're going to get to it. There's a discussion in the contemporary postgame about donuts. They would never serve donuts at a fancy thing, but they do. They used to have, at least, at desserts, at the Viennese tables, these mini donuts that they would serve. So does that ask for all donuts? Or do we say no? The very fact that they would never serve donuts, and because people wanted donuts, but it was low class to serve donuts, they had to come up with a different surah of donut gufa so they could be olah shulchan malachim, shows that donuts aren't olah shulchan malachim, because otherwise, if they were, they wouldn't have had to invent a new size style donut to be able to serve it. So similar thing with that potato chip. In other words, they didn't have to make a big potato chip to look different. Okay, so I think that's the basic rule. So we paskin, as I said, we paskin that it doesn't go by the min; it goes by the specific food. If this manifestation of the food would be olah shulchan malachim, then it's mutter. Though again, if it's essentially the same thing with only a very, very minor difference, then perhaps we would argue that's the same food and it would be aser. There is a tshuva from Rav Moshe in which he implies that potato chips are subject to the restrictions of Bishul Akum, presumably because potatoes or fried potatoes are olah shulchan malachim. So it does sound like Rav Moshe's machmir on Nishayla, and there are some Rishonim that might be machmir on Nishayla. The Isser V'Heter in a couple of places sounds this way. But Pashas, we don't paskin that way. Right? Belsky is very strongly opposed to this view. He doesn't think the Isser V'Heter is saying it. He didn't think Rav Moshe is saying it. He thinks nobody says it. The Pashas is that there are some sources, Rishonim and Achronim, that might hold this way. But Halacha, as I said, Halacha, we don't paskin this way. Halacha, we paskin that we don't follow them in. And any time it's prepared differently, for example, cooking versus roasting, so we're certainly makel to treat them as two different things. But obviously we wouldn't be makel if it's the same food, you just didn't prepare it nicely. Now, then we treat it as one category. If this food, when prepared nicely, is olah shulchan malachim, but when it's prepared not as nicely, is eino olah shulchan malachim, let's say broccoli. So like, you know, I have broccoli that's, you know, I cooked it and it's not so nice looking. The leaves, you know, when you buy the cheaper broccolis, the frozen broccolis, so they don't look as nice. You know, the more expensive ones, everything is whole. And so, you know, pieces versus whole things. Nobody would say that, well, they wouldn't serve pieces. That's true, they wouldn't serve pieces, al shulchan malachim, but it's the same food. There, we're going to be machmir. Or if it's basically the same food, but in the early stages of preparations, you could do something differently. So that's a little unclear. It sounds like with Moshe's machmir, but other poskim might be makom. Okay. This also comes up in the Shulchan Aruch when discussing korkovan. Korkovan is the gizzard. The korkovan, the Gemara says about that, ochlean lav bar inush, right? And we saw this come up when we were doing chaticha l'skabed. We said, yeah, it's not a chaticha l'skabed, and therefore it would be bato. Now, having learned the halachos of olah shulchan malachim, he would have asked me, is it going to be asur for Bishul Akum? I would say, for sure not, right? It's not a chaticha l'skabed. So obviously, if it's not chaticha l'skabed, it's not olah shulchan malachim. Lo and behold, when you get to our siman, you see it is aser mishum Bishul Akum. So the question is, why would that be? The Shach writes that it's aser in sifkat and base. This idea comes from the Isser V'Heter. The Shach writes, Kasav Isser V'Heter, Kirvayim, the Korkavan, Ubnei Me'ayin, Afagav Damin, and Liel. ochlen lava inush, the lava chatil scabi, mikomakom, asur misham bishale aude kochave muvio darke moshe. So the question is, why would this be? It's very, very strange. At first, I actually thought it was the Isavantra Lashitaso, because as I mentioned before, the Isavantra goes Basha the Min. Maybe he thought that we look at all meat as the same category, and therefore this is a Min Ha'aser. There are a lot of different theories to explain this. A number of Achronim say that they made a certain low plug by meat. We treat all meat, that all meat, all forms of meat are Aser. Another theory is that if you serve the whole animal together, it is olah shulchan malachim, meaning to say sometimes, I don't know if they still do it, but the TV shows in Hawaii, like they serve the whole, right? So if they would bring a whole roasted animal to the shulchan malachim, so it include Rosh Hashanayim, for example. So therefore, Rosh Hashanayim would be a potential iser of Bishlakum. It's true, you would never, like, at a state dinner, serve an ear. But you would bring the whole roasted animal. Now, maybe they don't do that anymore. If that's the theory, maybe it wouldn't apply anymore, because I don't know. Maybe in Hawaii, at the state dinners, they serve the whole animal. So there are different ways the Achronim learn and address this question. Maybe it's Dafka did by Basra, a little plug. It's not at all clear. The Lashon HaSefer is V'hu adin b'nei me'ayim shal behema v'chi agav na'af al pishen adav ragay liten lefnei orcham nechbadim. Sounds like unclear. Some say they wouldn't serve. You wouldn't serve just b'nei me'ayim before anashim nechbadim, but it would be a part of a bigger dish, right? So therefore, it's sort of like our pepper steak discussion when we had when we talked about that in terms of also chatilus God made. They talk about this in a number of contexts. I saw tshuva about water chestnuts. Water chestnuts are served as an ancillary part of another dish, right? Like in Chinese food, but they would be never a dish. Does that make them royal lalos or shulchan malachim or not? Schechter thought that they would be. So it's not so clear. How to explain that halacha. But we still paskin that generally speaking, maybe Korkavan and B'nai Ma'ayim being an exception, that we look at how this particular dish is served. And if it would be served at the state dinner, then there's room for leniency.
Say, like, Rishak by water chestnuts, that means that if you look through the whole 50-ingredient label ingredient list of a product, if the product is...
Usually we're not dealing with ingredients. I mean, water chestnuts are an ingredient, but they're still distinct.
True, but there are... So why would that be?
Give me an example.
I don't know, some mass-produced emulsifier that they use in making steak dinners.
Okay.
It's the 15 chemicals that they're
okay,
doing.
Okay, so
like
that
so
if it's part of a dish, if I put the emulsifier in sauerkraut, and you wouldn't serve sauerkraut at a steak dinner, then the sauerkraut's going to be mutter. It doesn't matter that when the emulsifier is in mashed potatoes, then they would serve. In other words, you don't eat emulsifiers. Your emulsifiers are mixed in. Water chestnuts are shachter thought, since they're a discrete part of a bigger dish. And that dish, so therefore, when you're at the state dinner, you see the water chestnuts. So that's why he thought it was a problem. Others disagree. Now, that actually brings up another very important issue, which is the Lashon HaGemara sounds like it's not just Roy Lalos and Shulchan Malachim, but Lulafis Bosa Pas. It's only subject to the rules of Bishalachim if it's Mulafis as a Pas. Now remember, in the olden days, most foods, most meals were consisting of pas and things that were malafes as a pas. It's not like nowadays where, you know, people go from Shabbos to Shabbos without ever washing. And you have all sorts of, you know, people eat chicken or meat or the like totally separate from meat. So the question is, how lav dafka is the Gemara? Is it dafka going to be things that are lafes sapas, and anything that's not lafes sapas won't be subject at all to Shulchan Malachim, to the restrictions of Bishlakim or not. The Gemara says that Ikka Beinayhu, Dagim Ketanim Ardi V'daisa, the Rashba writes that Daisa, you see, is Olal Shulchan Malachim. Now Daisa, right, therefore, the way the Rashba writes that Gemara is that it's Nechal Chai, because it's Raylachos, but it's so if you hold to the kula of Nachal Kamoshu Chai, it would be Mutter. But if you hold to the kula of Eina Roy Lalos and Chamlachim, remember the Gemara has it as two options, so then it would be Aser. So you see that the Rashba understands. Now, Daisa is definitely not the Lachis of us, except for the Bavlai Tipshai that have oatmeal sandwiches. Everybody else does not eat Daisa as something that's malafis is a pas and still it's us. The Rashba understood that when the Gemara says malafis is a pas, it's totally lav dafka. However, others disagree, the Ritva among others, and he says, no, the Rashba is wrong. The Gemara says malafis is a pas, so you need malafis is a pas. They understand the Gemara differently than the Rashba. And that's generally speaking what we accept. However, it's not so simple because the Rambam throws in parperes. And the question is, what does the Rambam mean when he says parperes? That's in Halacha Yates, and it's quoted by the Shulchan Aruch. So the Beis Yosef understood that the Rambam, by saying parperes, basically means anything that's eaten as part of the meal, even if it's not really lo afis sapas. The Beis Yosef writes at the Makor for the Rambam, an interesting Gemara. The Gemara said that the halacha is that if the guy was not mechavin for bishul, then it's not bechlal the yisur bishul akum. What's an example? Let's say a guy wants to burn down your field. Why does he want to burn down your field? Let's say he doesn't like you. So he goes and he burns down your field. So at the very least, you're the optimistic person, and you say, see the silver lining. At least he fried a bunch of grasshoppers for me, so now I could have something to eat. So the Gemara says, yeah, you could eat those grasshoppers. It's not part of the restriction of Bishul Akum. Why? Because he was a mechavin for Bishul. He was a mechavin to burn down your field. Well, grasshoppers are not apparently eaten the lafis is a pas. Apparently they are Olal Shulchan Malachim. But they're not lafis is a pas. So says the Beis Yosef, that's the source of the Rambam. How did the Rambam know that part? Paris is Bechlal Bishul Akum from that Gemara. The Pri Chadesh disagrees with the Rambam. Disagrees with the basis of understanding the Rambam. He understands parperes differently. He thinks that parperes is still lalafes is a pas. Let's say a nafkamina would be something like that's only served for kinuach. It sounds like going to Beis Yosef, it would be aser, would be bechlal, the restriction of bishalakum, whereas according to the Pri Chadash, it would not be. They basically disagree how you translate the word parperes. Beis Yosef understands parperes as including things like dessert. The Pri Chadash understands parperes as something like a side dish or an appetizer or the like. So therefore, according to the Beis Yosef, desserts would be subject to Bishul Akum. According to the Pri Chadash, they would not. And I think generally speaking, we are machmir on that shiloh. There is a cool, yes.
So then according to the BCSF, will be an example of something which isn't lafis
lapas? That is a good question. Snacks. Take a look at Ribiki Vager, he talks about that. Dessert's still part of a meal somewhat, but maybe snack food wouldn't be. In other words, snack food that isn't dessert food. Now, there's another... there's an interesting discussion. The Gemara writes in Yevamos that when it comes to people that are not B'nai Torah, so you shouldn't be makel on the heter, they know Olal Shulchan Malachim. And there's a machlokas rishonim whether that applies to us. Rabbeinu Tam was of the view in a number of different sugyos, this relates to burying on the second day of Yom Tov and the like, that if people in the times of the Gemara were not B'nai Torah, so certainly we're not B'nai Torah, and you could be makel on these types of leniencies. So therefore, according to that view, the heter of Eino Olal Shulchan Malachim is out the window. You shouldn't be makel, right? When you have people that are not B'nai Torah, that are not careful about Isurim, so you shouldn't tell them about leniencies. You have to be more machmir. Leniencies will be abused and the like. Sort of the opposite in the tendency of today, like you try to find all these leniencies for everybody. So at least the Gemara tells us about Rav. Other Amoraim, they sort of had the opposite approach. But we don't paskin that way. The Rishonim disagree with Rabbi Notam, and we paskin that you can rely on the leniency of Eino Ola Shulchan Malachim even today. Though it does bring up an interesting broader question about one that we're not going to have a chance to discuss today, which is when should you be, should you be looking for leniencies in the realm of Bishul Akam or not? On the one hand, we generally speaking do not say you should be more machmir than necessary. On the other hand, we live in a world where intermingling and assimilation and intermarriage is an issue, and these restrictions do serve an important function. So that's a broader question that's worth thinking about. There's another possible leniency mentioned in the Gemara, that davar shelon ishtana mebriyasu al yidei ha'or is mutter, something that's basically its appearance is unchanged even when cooked. The Gemara has this leniency at the beginning of the Gemara when there was a tzad that bishalakam was deraisa. The Gemara, in the end, rejects that idea and assumes bishalakam is only asmi derabban. And the question is, maskanas Gemara, do we still hold to the principle of lonish, that there's a heter of lonish dana ribiyas l'ideha or? So that's discussed, for example, in the sugya of chitin vasan klayos. Anyhow, Rashi and Iran are makel on this shaila. They say that davar shalon ishtana mebriyas l'ideha or is mutter. That's a separate and distinct heter from nechal kamo shehu chai. Shach thinks that's really the ikar b'shas and the view of the number of Rishonim, though Lamaisa, he notes that the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch don't cite that leniency. The Rambam writes that the reason why Kleios are mutter is not because of what Rashi says, that it's lo nishtanam v'riyas l'idehor, but rather it's because en adam izamein es chavero al ha-Kleios. In other words, it's bechlal the din of en olo shulchan malachim. That's the mashmos of the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, as the Shach points out. The Rashba has a third leniency, which is nechal kamo shehu chai, but we're going to get back to that a little later when we discuss nechal yedei hadchak. So some of the chevra brought up this morning, what about things made in a factory? Is there a heter of factories? Now, we know from yesterday that for pasakum there's potentially a heter of paspalter. However, obviously that's not true for Bishul Akum. There's no heter of palter for Bishul Akum. There's no difference between Bishul Balabayas and Bishul Palter, as there is possibly for Pas. So what about factories? This might relate to a discussion by Pas, Machlokas between the Rashba and the Ra'ah, which we didn't get to discuss yesterday, about Pas Porni, which is a certain type of public oven. The Ra'ah, to be miyasha, the minag lahakel, one of the reasons, he gave five reasons to be mako, but one of them was that the reason why we could be mako for porni is because it's not, it's like a palter, and therefore it's mutter. And the Rashba writes that doesn't make any difference. It's a low plug. So maybe we would assume that according to the Rashba, then factories would be a problem, and maybe according to the Ra'ah, you could say it's mutter. Right now, let's just explain the idea here. What's the tzad to be made by factories? The tzad is very simple. The tzad is that there's no practical concern of chasnas, right? After all, if the food is produced in a factory, who exactly am I going to marry, right? Even if you don't know anybody who works there. There's no interaction with the producers of the product, the people who produce the product whatsoever. So there's no concern of chasnas. So what's a tzad to be machmir? The tzad to be machmir is because it's low plug. As we said, the Rashi before said it's low plug. We talked yesterday about the pas komrim, and we saw the Rishonim say it's a low plug there in the sugya of pas akum. So even though you're right, there's no practical concern of chasnas for things produced by in a factory, but maybe it's a low plug. So that's probably the view of most achonim. Most achonim are machmir on this shaila, and they say that factories shouldn't be treated any differently because it's a low plug. However, Rav Moshe Feinstein is quoted by Rav Nata Greenblatt, one of his great Talmidim, and others. In a tshuva, he doesn't quite say this cool. He writes that those who are mekel on this ain't limchos biyadam. But the shmua from Rav Moshe is that he was mekel if the way in which this food is produced in a factory is significantly different than the way it would be produced in a home, which almost inevitably it is. When you go to a factory that produces food, you don't see like pots and pans and fires, not even big pots and pans and fires. You see pipes and all sorts of whistles and other things. But it doesn't at all look like things that you would make in your house. So Rav Moshe basically was reported to have said, look, the reason isn't shayach, so you still machmir al tzlo plug, but if the way in which it's produced in a factory is fundamentally different than the way it would be produced in a home, so then it's not bechlal the low plug, and therefore it is mutter. But as I mentioned to you, or as you guys mentioned to me this morning, many of the other contemporary poskim are machmir on this shayla. We mentioned yesterday that perhaps it's a tzad, this is a tzad la'akal for Sfardim in terms of pasakum, buying a bread from the supermarket. Even though the Mechaber is machmir for Pas Yisrael, that you need Pas Yisrael, you can't be someone with Pas Palter, but maybe a tzad la'akal is if the Pas Palter is produced in a factory in a way that's totally different than in it would be produced at home or even in a bakery, so then it's another tzad la'akal. Possibly. Okay, let's turn to the Shulchan Aruch inside now. And with the time we have left, we'll sort of go through the simon, sif by sif, and see what we get. Okay, so we mentioned that cool already. We mentioned that already. Lafis was a pasul of Paris. We talked about that already as well. Shemesh lo gai, afilu b'klei Yisrael, leves Yisrael, asher mishon b'shol gai. So we did sefala. Asif base, irev davar hanachal kmo shuchai, im davar shen hanachal kmo shuchai, uvishlo magai, im ha'ikr mi davar shish bo mishon b'shol akom, asher v'imlav mater. So if in a particular dish the ingredients include things that are nachal chai and not nachal chai, so we follow the ikr. That's what the Shulchan Aruch writes. This is based on the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, Lamechas Madaf. Gemara says, "Yavdinu ovik olchavim kasad harsina." So then it's aser. In other words, it's bachalal the din of bishlakim. The Gemara says, "Pshita." The Gemara answers, "Ma'ud the same harsina ikr, and harsina is nachal kamoshuchai. Apparently, kamash balan kimcha ikr." The kemach is the ikker ingredient, and kemach, of course, is not nachachai. So, I know you eat kemachai, but most people don't. So maybe according to you, the tab has changed, because everybody likes eating raw cookie doughs. Anyway, so that's what the Gemara says. So what do you see from that Gemara, though? You see from the Gemara that if it were the case that harsina ikker, since harsina is nachachai, so then it would be mutter, and therefore the Shulchan Aruch paskins over here, that any time the main ingredient is nachal chai. So let's say, what would you say about the following halachic shayla? Let's say a guy cooked tomato soup with rice. So what's the ikker, right? Let's say it's not a lot of rice. It's, they sprinkle in a little bit of rice. So what bracha would he make on tomato soup with rice? Let's say ben chadama, right? The ikker is the tomato soup, the rice sprinkled in is not the ikker. So tomatoes are nachal kamo shuchai, right? So therefore you would think that should be mutter based off this principle of Shulchan Aruch. That's what I would have thought. I did see, though, that the Pritor is machmir. He says this leniency is only true when they are not nicker. But if they're still nicker, like in the case of tomato soup and rice, then you'd have to be machmir. He brings a proof from this back from the simon we saw yesterday, Sivav, where the Rama was machmir by the eggs on top of the bread, right? Because it's nicker. So therefore, this leniency wouldn't apply. The Ritva disagrees, but we probably don't pass it like that Ritva. But where they're mixed in together, where you have two things mixed in together, the ikar is nachal kamo shuchai, and the secondary ingredient is enu nachal chai, then it is pater. Okay, so gimel. Tnada sha'afa gaya sura filu mishinoi kater b'pashalakom. So pnada is like a type of pizza, where you have a red type thing on the bottom and you put all sorts of delicious things on top. So what's the issue over there? So the crust on the bottom is bread-like. So you might think that the panada is mutter for those who are making on paspalter. No, it's going to be aser. Why? Because the stuff on top is bichlal bishul, the nivla bipas, and that's absorbed into the pas. In basar, let's imagine you have a chves. Let's imagine broccoli is davar shenachal chai. I'm not entirely sure. We'll talk about more of that later. Which do you follow the ikar achil or not? Most broccoli is cooked, but some broccoli is eaten raw. I think a lot of times you see broccoli at weddings actually, and like a vegetable platter or the like before they have things like zucchini or broccoli, vegetables that are generally cooked, but you'll see them served as part of dips or the like raw. Let's assume for a moment that that therefore makes a nachal chai. Okay, so you have a zucchini and a meat stew. So zucchini's nachal chai, obviously the rest of the ingredients, the meat, the potatoes are nachal chai. So it sounds like the Shulchan Aruch is saying you can't eat those zucchini from this dish. Why? Because they've absorbed from the rest of the food, which is asar, right? V'chein yirakos ha'nechal m'chayim shebishlam im basar asura mipnei sheshuman shel basar nivla bohem. Now, sounds like from here that basically we do say tam kikar for v'shalakom, meaning to say that if you have davar shenachal chai, something that shouldn't be subject to v'os v'shalakom, but it absorbed the taste of things that are aser al bishalakum, like in this case where you had the guy cook the meat stew, you can't eat the cauliflower, the broccoli from the meat stew, even though that's nachal chai. It sounds like we would be machmir on this shaila. Now you'll say, but didn't he say in Sif Beis, in the previous Sif, that we follow the ikar? Let's say it's the opposite case. Let's say the ikar is not this way. Let's give a different example. Let's imagine that a Jew cooked chicken soup, a non-Jew cooked noodles, soup noodles. I'm assuming soup noodles are olah shalchan alachim. And then you go ahead and you warm them up together. Right? You put the noodles into the soup, you warm them up together, and then he says, oh my gosh, those noodles, they were cooked by a non-Jew. You say, okay. Okay, so you strain out the noodles, you put your chicken broth through the strainer, you take out the noodles, you give them to the maid, you say, here, we have a present for you. And now you want to know, can you eat the soup? Right? So if these noodles weren't kosher, what would we say? Tam kikar, it's aser, right? What about over here? Is it aser or mutter? Sounds like in the Shulchan Aruch, it's aser, right? Because the soup absorbed the tam of the noodles. The noodles were aser, and therefore the soup's aser. That's the pashtus, and we're kosher for blios. That's the pashtus. And that's the view of the Gra, among others. And the Gra proves it from this halacha sif gimel panadish. However, you look at the Shach sif katan chaf aleph, he is mako. The Shach says that just like we saw yesterday, though we didn't see it, but in theory we thought saw it, that when it comes to pasakum, we follow rov. So too, by bishalachim we'll follow rov, we'll say bitl b'rov, even if there's a tam. So therefore, it would be mutter. Now the problem is, what in the world is a shach going to say about Pnadish? The shach will say Pnadish is different. Why? Because it's nicker. It's be'en, right? The shuman that was nifla into the bread, it's nicker. If it's nicker, but the shach also agrees probably in the case of Avidi Lataimi. But otherwise we would say bittul berov. In other words, in that case of the chicken soup, the chicken broth that the noodles were aser mishum bishalakam, you strained out the noodles. L'chor, according to the Shach, it's going to be mutter. According to the Gra, it is going to be aser. That is obviously a very important machlokes, and it gets down to the question of how you understand the Isser by Pnadish. The Gra, as I said, is over here, Sefkat Nches, is medayik from the case of the Irakos, Afalgav, She'en Hashuman Be'en, still those Irakos are Aser, whereas the Shach will have to say that that's different, either because he's going to be Mukim that the Shuman is Be'en, or he'll say it's Avida L'Taima, it's different. Of course, according to the Gurat's Meduyik, why the Rama quotes the Kula by Pas, both in Simen Kuf Yud Beis and in Simen Kuf Tesvav, we'll see. He doesn't quote the Kula by Bishol. Also, it's a little easier, we'll see later on, that we Paskin, like the Mekilim, Machmirim, like the Rashba, that we are concerned with Blios with respect to Bishol Akub. That halacha works better if you assume, like the Gra, that there is a concern of Blios, that we don't just say Bittel Rov, right? And it would explain why the Ramah does not bring the Kula of Tam Kicker and Simon Kuf Yud Gimel. Frantos Chatas does sound like the Shach. That's where the Shach's coming from. The Shach sounds like we don't say Tam Kicker by Bishalakam. To say like the Shach, and the Shach has this idea in a number of places. It's in Kuf Yud Beis, Sifkan Chav Gimel, Kuf Yud Gimel, Sifkan Chav Aleph, Kuf Tesvav, Sifkan Yud Zayin. You basically have to say, so the Kula, again, the Kula of Shach is that we say Bittel B'Rov over here. You have to say a number of Chidushim. You'd have to say that Pnadish is Nicker or Avida L'Taima. You have to be Machalik. You have to say that both by Bishal Akum and Pas Akum, we follow Rov. And even though he said explicitly by Pas, he didn't say by Bishal, but who Adin. You have to say that Kalim is different. Now, it's not so hard to say Kalim are different because the Shach isn't saying that Blios aren't a problem. He's just saying that there is Bittel B'Rov. Right? In other words, it would still be us or else Bittel Isser L'Chatchila. I mean, if you hold like the Shach to use a kli that was used to cook Bishal Akum, to cook kosher food in. Right? B'Dievet, if you used it, it will be mutter. Why? Bittel B'Rov. But to L'Chatchila use it will be Aser. Now, L'Chor Chum also comes out from the Shach. If you follow the Shach, then L'Chor you have to be Machmir for Kalim even by Pas. So this is a big machlokas. Now, if you follow the Shach, so you saw in the Pesachei Tshuva, not in our simon, but in the next simon, this is one of the explanations for why you're allowed to buy coffee, right? Before Shavuos, we talked about buying coffee at Starbucks in terms of shilas of kashrus. But I have a much better reason why it should be aser. It should be aser al tzbishalakum, right? Is coffee nachal al shulchan malchim? Maybe not the coffee I drink, but the Starbucks coffee for shteitzach. Maybe the kings can't afford Starbucks. It's too expensive. But right? Yes, the Starbucks is good, high-quality coffee. It's certainly nachal al shulchan malchim. Certainly it is. Right? So why is it mutter to go to Starbucks? Let's assume you don't think this kasher is concerned. It should be aser alts. Bishalakum. So what's the answer? So if you look at the Pesachei Tshuva at the beginning of the next sermon, he says, I'll tell you why. Because what is coffee? 99% water. Water is nachal moshu chai. So therefore, it's flavored water. Right? According to the Shach, we could explain why it is that it's mutter.
Why wouldn't that be Bekalos Lechatchila
to order a cup of coffee? It's made already. No, it's not. The issue doesn't even come into that case because when it's raw, right, it's not subject to the Bishal Akum. This relates to our discussion we had last time, which is when you Bittol Metchilas HaTaroves, right, is that Bechlal Bishal Akum. We talked about that in the Ksugit Darshish Lativin. But remember the grapes that are exuded into the water, and even though we're not normally machmir for doshes mutter not being bottled over there, it's mutter because it's in the south coast of Rovas, and we talked about whether that applies to other Yisurim or not, right? It's a similar thing. In other words, the Isser of Bishal Akum is never created because even if you're machmir on that shayla, right? This relates to another shayla. You're allowed to go ahead and, cook unsalted meat in water, where there's shishin connected the dam, 1%. because the blood is an usser while the meat is raw, right? It only becomes usser when it leaves, and at that point it's batal. Anyway, another time for another discussion. But the point is over here, the point is that the isser, it's much more simple, the kula. The kula is very simple. The point is that the isser never gets off the ground because, so it's not an issue of bittul, so you don't need to come on to bittul. Even without the chiddush of bittul would be true because we follow the yikr, right? This isn't the din of bittul b'rov. This is the idea that, I guess it is din of bittul b'rov. Anyway. So that is the reason why, one of the reasons. There are those that are machmir in that shayla. There's a gigantic tshuva from the Yavetz, offering coffee for all sorts of different reasons. It's also quoted by the Pesach tshuva. The Yavetz, Yaakov Avinu went to London and he saw these Jews drinking coffee in geisha coffee houses. He got very upset about this. So he wrote a long tshuva saying why it's aser for many different reasons, and one of them is he thinks it's mishalakum. But most poskim are mekel, and one of the reasons is because, like we said, that really the ikar ingredient is water. The Rishonim give two reasons why beer should be not subject to Mishalakim. One of them is because it's an Ol Shulchan Aruch, and one of them is because it's ikar water. So for coffee, one of those two reasons would be Shayach, not both of them. So much to do here. Let's go on to Siv Dal, though. Ayesh, mi shem matir, b'shifchos shalanu. So what's going on over here? So the Rishonim have two different kulas over here. Tosfos quotes the view of Rabbi Avram. Rabbi Avram held that when you had a non-Jew cooking in a Jewish home, it's mutter, it's not subject to the laws of Bishalakim. The Rishonim disagree with Rabbi Avram, and they give a number of different reasons why Rabbi Avram is wrong. The Tosfos of Rashi, the Mordechai say, because it's a low plug. In other words, even though Rabbi Avram said that there's no concern of chasnas over here when the guy comes and cooks in your house, but it's a low plug. Rabbi Nutam, as we mentioned earlier, disagrees because he says, yeah, there's still, it's also al Bishalakim because there's still concern that they're going to be Ma'ariv Davar Tame. The Ritva writes, what are you talking about? There still is a concern of chasnas. Just because this guy is coming to your house to cook doesn't mean you're not going to marry her. Therefore, the whole logic doesn't make any sense. That's the view of Rabbi Avram, which, as I said, most Rishonim who cite it reject it. And then the Ramban has a different kula. Sounds like a different kula. And that seems to be what the Shulchan Aruch over here is alluding to. It's not clear what he means, though. He says that when you have slaves that you buy, then it's mutter. There's no iser of bishalakum. And the Ramban, how do I know that these are slaves that you own? Because the Ramban says that there are a number of nafkaminas. For example, Shvachos haknuyos lanu umus harnash visasan b'shabes min ha'Torah, right? Avdu chava maschot, it's pasuk in the Torah. These types of shvachos, these types of slaves that you own, that, for example, have an iser deraisa and a shvisa, it's not just an iser drabana milu nachri, but an iser deraisa of avdu chava mascha. So about them, they are leisei b'chla goyim, he writes. I don't think he means that they actually did tevila, because he says explicitly they're talking about an eved arel. Obviously it's aser minatar and their shvisa, their chayim and their raisa to keep Shabbos. It's not us on their shvisa. So it doesn't mean that the Ramban's not talking about a case where they actually were tovel. Now it's an interesting halacha. Now it's not time to get into it because you're not generally allowed to keep a eved that you're not tovel that you own. You have a certain time where it's permitted, maybe a year. But like it's not for us. Now, anyway, the Ramban seems to say that there's a kula that we don't say the restrictions of Bishalakam on slaves that you own. That does seem to be what the Mechaber is paskening. The Lashon that he uses is basically the Lashon of that Ramban. Now, if that's true, if the Mechaber is just paskening the Ramban as opposed to Rabbi Avram, so that presumably would not at all be relevant for us nowadays because, as far as I know, none of us own slaves. It's a bad idea. Don't do it. So, therefore, the kula is out the window. Now, then Rama writes, Haga, uvidyavet yesh lismocha devei amatirin, v'afilu l'chatchil anogin l'hakal b'veis Yisrael, k'shashvachois v'havadim mevashlo b'veis Yisrael, ki i'afshar shalo yachat e'achem ne'abayis me'at. So, b'di'avet you can be somech on the make of you cited in the Shulchan Aruch, and even l'chatchila, because some Jew is going to stoke the fire at some point. So the question is, what does the Rambam mean? The Rambam is very obscure. The Rishach has four possibilities what exactly the Rambam might mean, and we'll see various nafkaminas. The first option, probably the simplest, is that the Rambam is citing the lenient view in the Mechaber, right? In other words, when the Rambam writes, Yesh les mocha dever matir, and he means you could be somech on the Ramban. Now, if you hold up that reading of the Rambam, then the Rambam is not at all relevant for us nowadays, as I said, because none of us own slaves. But the second possibility Shach saying is maybe the Rambam is saying that at least b'diavad you could be somech on the opinion of Rabbi Avram, and that's somewhat the mashmos of the Darkei Moshe when he cites the Isser Vater in Os Aleph. Now, if that's the correct reading of the Rambam, then you could be Makel nowadays, right? All these shilas that people always ask you, their maid cooked in their house, their babysitter cooked in their house. If you think the Rambam is being somech on the Rabbi Avram b'diavad, so if they already cooked, you couldn't tell the maid to cook for you, but if the maid already made supper for you, you'd be able to eat it. The third option is that the Rambam over here is being tola in what he's about to say. He hasn't said yet, but what he's about to say, that, well, for sure someone stoked the coals. Now, if that's true, that's not relevant for us anymore. In the olden days, the point was that the fires, to keep them going, you had to stoke the coals. You had to keep it going, stir the coals a little bit. So it might have been true that in the olden days, you know, every time somebody walked by the furnace, the fire, the stove, they would stoke a little bit. I imagine that none of us here have stoves that need stoking anymore. So if that third option is correct, it's not relevant nowadays. And then the Shach says there's a fourth option. Maybe the Rambam is referring to the Rashba. The Rashba writes that since the employees in our house, even if you don't actually technically own them, but they would listen to us, they're forced to listen to us. They ain't no mirtzono, so then there's no kir of das. In other words, there's only kir of das, and therefore kasam chasnos, in the case where it's sort of someone on your madrega, but someone who is lower than you, lower social stature, so then there's no concern of chasnos. And if that is the pshat in the Rama, so then yesh lachor, would it apply to us nowadays? We don't really, right, our domestic help could quit at any moment. They don't really have to listen to us, but at the same time, they might want to listen to us because they don't want to be fired. So it's not clear if you think that the Rama is referring to the Rash, but the post can debate whether that would be shach nowadays. The difficulty, the Shach notes, of saying that the Rama is referring to the Rash, because the Rashba's view is not cited by either the Mechaber or the Raman, the Beis Yosef, or Dr. Moshe. Therefore, it seems a little strange to imagine that that's what he's referring to over here in the Haggah on the Shulchan Aruch. So Lamaisa, according to the first and third pshat of the Shach, it would not be applicable nowadays. According to the second, it would be. And according to the fourth, it's not at all clear. Then, as I said, the Rambam has the additional kula of being mechad b'kolim. So, what's the idea of the Ramban in the first place? Let's try to understand the Ramban a little better. Right, the Ramban says it's different because you're mitzvah al shvisasan. What does that make any difference? Just because I'm mitzvah al shvisasan, why should that be a reason to be mekel for bishlakim? L'chor, the pshat is like this. The pshat is that the reason why we reject Rabbi Avram is because it's a low plug. But we oftentimes will say that when somebody's in a halachically different category, they're not bechlal, the low plug. So over here, since this slave is in a halachically different category, it's evidenced by the fact that you're mitzvah shisasam in HaTorah, so therefore they're not bechlal, the low plug. Anyhow, the poskim disagree about whether or not we would accept Rabbi Avram b'diavad or not. Is the Rama being mekel b'diavad or not? Which shot in the shach is correct? There are some poskim that are mekel b'diavad and say that if a domestic help cooked something, then b'diavad it's mutter. Rabbi Willig thinks that we do not accept that view. The pashtus in the Rama, the ikur in the shach, is that it does aser b'diavad. So if somebody's maid cooked chicken for supper, then you should go ahead and offer the maid the chicken. You shouldn't eat it. However, Sorry, Willick says you can be mekel on the pot. You don't have to kasher, because there we're going to be mitzdarif the sheet of Rabbi Avram with the sheet of the Ra'an and Rasha, we'll see later on, that say that we're mekel on kelim, that the Isser B'Shalakim doesn't apply to blios anymore. There's no sort of chasnas for blios, as the Ra'an puts it. And though we don't accept that on its own, but we'll be mitzdarif the view of Rabbi Avram with the view of the Rosh and Ra'ah, and say you don't have to kosher it, which means in the vast majority of Bishul Akum shilas that come up, in practically is usually with cases of non-Jewish people who are working in a Jewish home, so then at least you'll almost never have to kosher the pots, according to Rabbi Willig. Again, different poskim take, are some are more machmir and some are more makel than Rabbi Willig. What time is it? 27. Okay. So here's what we're going to do. I guess there's still a very important discussion we have to have on what types of things you could do to permit Bishul Akum, like stoking the coals or other common remedies that we have nowadays. So we're going to do that tomorrow, but we're going to go on to Siman Kuf Yud Dalet tomorrow. So tomorrow, the first half, in my notes, we got up to page 32 out of page 80. But you shouldn't see that as a siman to how much we have left, because I don't want to spend more than another 15 or 20 minutes on this. So tomorrow, the first half of this year, we will finish up Bishul Akum, and the second three quarters of this year, we will go on to Siman Kuf Yod Dalet, which is Ganze Geschmack.